needs to meet Jesus. And that is all there is to it. That lady needs to meet Jesus. And that's all there is to it. We were standing in a small group following one of those vestry meetings where we sometimes have the meeting after the meeting in the parking lot. You know, sometimes these are like post-game reviews you see on the sports channel. Everyone rehearsing what seemed to them to be the missed call, the foul, the game-winning play. And very often they are a short catalog of the hurts and injuries inflicted by church members upon one another. And on this night, the injuries were real, very real. And one of our group was angry and ready to have a come to Jesus meeting. Someone was in need of meeting the Lord that night, and this fellow was ready to make the introductions. So one or two of them were nodding their heads. A few others looked philosophically at the ground with me, thinking great thoughts. Another shook her head in disagreement. And then there was a comment that struck me with truth, one of those things that you know intuitively that perhaps life is in the process of teaching you, and then suddenly it is put into words that simply make sense to you. You know, Jimmy, maybe she just doesn't know what she doesn't know. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe she just doesn't know what she doesn't know. You know, maybe all of us just don't know what we don't know. That's another way of saying that if someone is living in a world that they know to be flat, there's probably not any shred of argument, persuasion, or bullying that is going to suddenly have them believe that the world is actually round. We really see only what we can see. And I thought to myself, you know, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Most folks just don't know what they don't know. The Supreme Court Justice, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., he put it another way. He used to say that deep-seated preferences cannot be argued about. You cannot argue a man into liking a glass of beer. And when I think about Jesus trying to explain himself, his teachings, to a full spectrum of varying intellects, experiences, expectations, I can see why much of the time folks simply did not know what he was talking about. Jesus spends time with everyone. Jesus spends time with the naive, the well-meaning, the earnest, the misinformed, the well-informed. The writer of John's Gospel is giving us a glimpse of when Jesus encountered some who were very well informed, but who were not well meaning. Some of the religious leaders in Israel were becoming frustrated. They were looking for ways to trap Jesus, trap him into speaking blasphemy, so that they might say, "Gotcha, we gotcha." Then they would have grounds to arrest him. However, Jesus is so adroit at not taking the bait. So good at slipping the hook. Jesus lets his life do the talking for him. He says, I've told you. I've told you, but you don't believe. The works that I do. Let my life do the speaking for me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify to me, but you do not believe. You do not believe. It's the people at large who are beginning to stand around stand around the coffee pots and the water coolers, asking themselves, asking one another, maybe this guy really is the long-awaited Messiah. Are we hearing the voice? It's the leaders who are becoming anxious. And so they confront Jesus in Solomon's portico at the temple. And they say, look, let's just be done with this. Let's straighten this out. Just tell us plainly. You know, go on the record. Make a statement. Send out a tweet. Once for all, if you are the Messiah, testify to yourself. But Jesus is too adroit for them. I've already told you. You simply don't believe. You see, Jesus makes it clear that the issue is not one of needing more information, more data, in order to make a decision. It's not information that they lack. It's not information that they lack. What they lack is something that lies deeper in the heart. It is something about desire, about will, about humility, about courage. It is something about faith. What they want is more information. What they want is an answer. And what Jesus gives them is an opportunity to make a decision. Did you know that the Latin root of the word decide means literally to cut off? Making decisions is about cutting off choices. Making decisions is about cutting off other courses of action. And Jesus is inviting them to cut off whatever imaginary thinking they are doing about his presence in their world. You see, while they might know a great deal about their religion, about what it takes to win an argument, although they might know what it takes to lay a rhetorical trap, what they do not know is a God who could possibly be so available and so present as to be like the person standing right in front of you. Jesus will not dance. Not for them. They are already full of answers. They're just waiting for a capitulation. They're waiting for Jesus to capitulate to their agenda. They're so full of certainty. They have no real need to be led. They've already answered for their lives. I might go so far as to say that it is almost impossible for them to hear through the veil of their own certainties. You see, if you are convinced that the world is flat, what use is there for the person who is telling you that it is round? Something I notice about Jesus, I see this in the gospel. Something I notice about Jesus is that in his life, in his teaching, that he is generally making time for those who are interested in having a relationship with him. That he makes time, he takes the interruption of those who are trying to understand the kind of relationships that they should have with others because they are following him. And among those who follow, what I see is there is a willingness for light to shine through the crevices of their own questions and their own doubts. They are willing to let Christ's light shine through the crevices of their questions and doubts. Among those who follow, it seems that there's a recognition of personal limitation. There's a recognition of personal failure. Among those who follow, it seems there's a desire to be illuminated and instructed, that there's a willingness and a desire to be led. to follow a friend and a mentor, a good shepherd who knows far more about God than we might know. Following World War II in Europe, the Allied forces, they found themselves responsible for hundreds and hundreds of hungry and homeless children. These were the orphans of war. And these children were gathered into large camps. And these children were given everything. Every day was Christmas. Food, clothes, toys, games, music, diversions of every kind. These children wanted for nothing. However, those who were caring for them were troubled, because although the children had everything, the children were restless and anxious, oppositionally defiant, especially at night when they should be sleeping. And so the camps were in a kind of turmoil through the nights, and no one was getting any rest. Neither those who were taking care of the children nor the children themselves. And finally, a military psychologist offered a solution. The psychologist said, after the children were put to bed, as they would travel around and put them in bed and tuck them in, each one of these children was given a slice of bread to hold in their hands. Now, if they wanted more to eat, they could go and have all the food they wanted. But this piece of bread placed in their hands was just for holding through the night. And it was like a small miracle, because the children finally slept. And they slept, and they slept, and they slept. You see, the children simply did not know what they did not know. And they were learning a new thing. The children simply did not know what they did not know. And they were beginning to learn a new thing that they had not known for a very, very long time. They were beginning to learn that someone cared. They were beginning to learn that they were safe. They were beginning to learn that they could wake into a world where they were loved and cherished. Why were they restless all night? Because they did not know what they did not know. That piece of bread was the answer to a knowing that gave their hearts and their bodies the rest that they desperately needed. You see, that piece of bread in their hands, with that piece of bread in their hands at night, they knew that someone was coming for them in the morning. They knew that they were loved. And that they could rest. The children came to know a new thing, and it is the very thing that I believe that Jesus would have each of his children come to know. At least those who decide to listen to him. My sheep hear my voice. Oh, I know them. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Nothing will snatch them out of the Father's hand. And they will certainly, certainly, never, never perish.